We're going to be reading this morning from 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with verse 8. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like a thousand years to the Lord, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should we live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along? On that day He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth He has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while we are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. And remember, the Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. First Sunday of Advent. Entering into a time of expecting Christ's birth. You know, the scripture that we read this morning really sounds like a strange scripture for Advent, doesn't it? There are no shepherds, no angels, no sheep, no manger scene, none of those things we've come to expect and look for in Christmas. But for the last several weeks, we have been looking at Jesus' discourse on His second coming, His coming again, and our need to be actively watching. Watching in such a way that we're actually doing the work of God as we're waiting for His coming. And now Peter picks up on this theme here in his writings to the church. And he pictures Jesus in this idea of coming like a thief in the night, coming quickly and unexpectedly. In these verses we find such things as disappointment and fear and fire and destruction and judgment. But today we're looking at peace. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of peace here. Not in these verses. In fact, these verses sort of make us and remind us of the world in which we live, and we live in the in-between times. The time when He came and the time when He's coming again. You know, as we think about Christmas, we think about peace and hope and joy and love and happiness and celebrations. All the good things in life. We celebrate looking back to Christ coming to earth as a baby in Bethlehem. But as we do that, we're also to be looking forward. We're to be looking ahead to His eventual return. And just like the early Christians who had read Peter's letter the first time, we live in this in-between time. Looking back to the kingdom that came with Christ's arrival, be it looking forward to the kingdom that is yet to come when He returns. And the early Christians, they expected Jesus to come at any time. In fact, they expected Him to come quickly at any time. And were surprised when He didn't come as quickly as they thought He was going to come. And of course, they had questions just like we would. Well, why the delay? Well, what's He waiting for? Why is it taking so long? And how are we to live while He's delaying? What were they to do as they waited? We find in the scripture we read this morning, it's a scripture of promise and hope. It's not a scripture about fear. You see, the people wondered if Christ really was going to come and return at all. It seemed that God was kind of slow. Have you ever known anybody that was kind of slow? That you felt like He was always waiting on them? And wondered what was taking them so long? And so you waited? You ever known anybody like that? It's like they operated in their own time zone. The clock didn't mean anything to them. When they got ready, they'd be ready, whenever that might be. That's sort of like Jesus coming, isn't it? When he's ready, he's going to come. But here's the deal. God had not forgotten his promise. You can trust in the promise of God. His promises are true. Christ is going to return. And so what they characterize as slowness was really God's patience. God is patient with humanity. You see, if anyone is slow, it's us. We're slow. God is waiting for all humanity to repent. And we're often slow at it. We don't turn toward God. But God is waiting for us to turn toward Him in repentance. And so He waits. The clock doesn't mean anything to Him. In fact, God counts time differently than we do. He doesn't, you know, we count time in seconds and minutes and hours and days and months and years and decades. But God doesn't do that. In fact, Peter said, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. And he picked up on that from the psalmist who said, speaking of God, said, for you, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as briefly as a few night hours. And so God doesn't count time like we do. And that doesn't mean that time has no meaning for God. It just means that we can't grasp God's time schedule. He's got His own time schedule. And here's the deal. He has His own time schedule because, you see, God is more concerned about the soul of humanity than He is about the clock and what time it is. So God is working to refine and perfect us. That's why He's waiting. You know, when we think about fire, usually what we think about is destruction. We set things on fire to destroy it, to get rid of it. In the third grade, our house burnt to the ground. And that was back in the day before there was many fire departments as there are around here today. And plus it was in the middle of winter and the roads were rutted and the bus could barely get through to the house. And it burnt completely to the ground. Nothing was left. That's what fire does. Fire destroys. But you know, fire also can be for refining and purifying. And that's what we see here. A refining, a purifying. As precious metals. You know, precious metals have to be refined in order to be purified. And until they are refined, they're not worth near what they could be otherwise. But once they are purified, then they become more valuable, and this is done with fire. All of creation must be subjected to a perfecting and purifying process to bring it back to where God created it first to be. You remember how God created everything? What did He say about it? He said, it is good. Sin has polluted the world. And it must be returned to the perfect state in which God created it to be. And so in these verses here, what we really are discovering is hope that brings peace. That this painful and sinful place of the world will be removed, but what is good will remain. And you know, we would have to say in our world today, it's pretty bad off. And it's easy really for us to focus on the bad in the world today. But you know, the truth is, even in this world, with as much bad and sin and chaos as going on, there is still good. And God is going to have a fire that's going to burn up the bad stuff, the chaff. The chaff which is bad is going to be burned up, while the wheat which is good will remain. See, verse 10 is really about disclosure. We think it's about destruction, but it's about disclosure. In judgment, what is hidden will be laid bare. It's going to be exposed. It's going to be revealed that purification and redemption may take place. But now we're still living in this in-between time, in this already but not yet kingdom of God. Jesus brought the kingdom of God to earth. This is what happened in the incarnation. This is what happened when the Son of God came to earth as a baby and was laid in a manger. The day he was born, the day of the Lord was realized. When John the Baptist asked, was he the one? What did Jesus tell his disciples to go and tell John the Baptist? Tell him what you see. The blind see. There's freedom is declared for the captives. The lame walk. The lepers are healed. There's justice. There's peace. There's hope. And love is being preached. The day of the Lord has come. Folks, the kingdom of God came, but it's not yet fulfilled. The incarnation was the beginning of the coming of the kingdom. But the kingdom will not be complete until Christ returns. Because our world is an imperfect mess. There is sin in our world, and there is disorder in our world. And many are still in need of healing from diseases today. And you know, the coronavirus just seems to be running rampant right now with more people every day just piling up on others of new cases. Well, we need healing. There's a high rate of slavery in our world today. Human trafficking going on and sweatshops where people are just enslaved. There's people wrongfully in prison today. Our world is just full of injustice, war, and hatred. It's that in-between time in which we live. His first coming and His coming again. And we live here. We live in this great in-between time. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, while at the same time we wait for His return. We don't know when it will be. And so we must live as people who are always ready. Actively ready, doing the work that Jesus did. But Peter gives us another step. How do we live as people waiting for Christ's return? Not only are we actively doing the work of Christ and actively watching, but he says we're to live at peace. At peace. You know, who of us today wouldn't like a little peace? I mean, really, wouldn't it be great to someday you decide, I want to turn on the evening news again, and you turn it on, and there's no coronavirus, there's no hatred, there's no fighting. The news people are really struggling to find something to report because all they find is peace. Peace is an important idea. In Scripture, Jesus is defined as the Prince of Peace. God's desire is to bring peace and wholeness and completeness to God's people and ultimately to the whole world. You see, the message of Christmas is peace on earth, good will to men. The message of the first coming was peace. And the message of his second coming is also peace. Isaiah 11:6, we read, in that day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat, and the calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. Can you imagine this? There is going to come a day when there is going to be no fear of snakes. There is going to be no fear of wasps. There is no fear of bees. No fear of spiders. Somebody ought to say amen to that one. I know you people. Yeah. No fear, just peace. When Christ returns, he will make all things right and whole. You see, the message for us today, living in the kingdom of God in this in-between time, is a message of peace. And peace is found in holiness. You know, look at the words that Peter used here. And different translations say it different ways, but it's diligent. Make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. There's two key words here. Pure or spotless. That describes the Old Testament sacrificial animals, which God said had to be pure. They have to be spotless. There can't be anything wrong with them. And that image carries on over to the New Testament and describes Jesus and the sacrifice that He made for us. 1 Peter 1:19 says, "It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." Pure and spotless. The other word we find here is blameless or faultless or without blemish. An individual who is not subject to blame in a moral or a religious sense. Blameless. You see, what Peter tells us is it is possible to live a blameless life. It is possible to live a pure and blameless life. And we may go, how is that even possible with this world in which we live today? You see, it's possible because we have been sprinkled with the blood of Christ, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. And we have been sanctified by His Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 1:2, Peter said, "God the Father knew you and He chose you long ago. And His Spirit has made you holy. And as a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May the God give you more and more grace and peace." That's God's gift to us. By God's grace, you can be spotless and blameless and know peace. By God's grace. As God's people, we are to work toward living pure, blameless lives, which leads to peace. That's not to say we work our salvation to receive it. It's to say that we strive in everything we have to live up to God's expectations by His grace. Peter says that righteousness, you know, righteousness is doing the right thing for the right reason, and that's part of peace. Righteousness is doing from a perfect intent. It's intending to do that which is good and that which is blameless. That's part of peace. Part of peace is also loving God and others. That's at the heart of living in peace. Loving God, loving others. And you see, the thing is, this loving God and loving others and living in righteousness, they all go together. They all come to us by God's grace, and they're what we are expected to live out. A life of doing the right thing for the right reasons and loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength and loving others as we love ourselves. When we learn to live like that, when we strive to live like that, we will know peace. And it's all possible because of God's grace. You see, peace is not passive. It's a lesson about patience. God is patient with us. Therefore, we are called to be patient with God for the redemption of mankind. We wait patiently. We look patiently. We expect patiently for God's return. You see, there is an active element to peace. We make every effort. It tells us there is something to work toward, even if we don't always get it perfectly right. It's what we strive for. It's who we want to be known as. A people of God. A people of peace. And so as we wait Christ's return, we are to live as kingdom people who actively hope for Christ's return while partnering with the work of the Holy Spirit in our world today. You know, this might look like Stephen, who was being persecuted for standing for God, and they began to stone him to death, and he offered forgiveness as the rocks were flying. It may look like being patient toward others with the patience of God in our desire that none perish, but that all would come to know the love of God. It will look like holiness. Learning to align our entire lives with the Holy Spirit. Seeking goodness in our homes, in our neighborhoods, our community, and even the whole world. You see, it's going to look like peace. Finding contentment and wholeness in our lives, our homes, and our communities. You see, as surely as Christ came as a baby and was laid in a manger, He will return in triumph and make all things new. We don't know when, but it's promised. It will happen. So we are called to live as citizens of the kingdom of God now. We are to live as though the kingdom has already been fulfilled by living holy, peaceful lives in this world. And you know, December is an easy month to do this. It's almost crazy how December, everybody's mindset almost seems to change. And you see more the idea of peace and joy and goodwill toward everyone else. You see more of the caring that takes place. But you see, the reality is we're called to live this way every day. Not just through the month of December. See, it's not about living out when it feels right. But it's about living that way even when it doesn't feel right. It's about a way of being. It's about a way of living that our lives become characterized by and we're known by. You see, we are called to live. Not only looking back and celebrating the birth of the Son of God on earth, bringing God's kingdom, but we're to live with an eye toward the kingdom that is yet to come in all its fullness. We live like the kingdom is fully here now. And if we do, when Christ does return, the kingdom of God does fully come, we'll be found pure and blameless and living in peace. Really, that brings us to the question of the day. Are you today striving? Are you making every effort to live a peaceful life that is pure and blameless in God's sight? Are you striving for that end? You see, if not, then God's waiting for you. He's waiting. And today is your day to discover peace, because God desires you to know peace in your life. Dear God, this morning, we are thankful for peace. We live in a world that doesn't seem to know a whole lot about peace. Be it we as your followers, we're called to live a life of peace in anticipation of your coming again. And dear God, my prayer today is if there's somebody here or somebody listening to the broadcast somewhere else that doesn't know your peace, that today they would turn toward the spotless Lamb of God. And they would confess their sins. And they today, dear God, would come to know your peace as you come and forgive us, forgiving their sins and filling them with your Holy Spirit. Dear God, may they know your peace. And dear God, those of us who know your peace, help us to continue to strive. Continue, dear God, to provide new grace each day that we will strive and make every effort to live a life of peace that is pure and spotless and blameless and faultless in your sight. May we be found to be examples of peace in this world of chaos in which we live, that we might share with somebody struggling the grace and the peace of God. Dear God, we thank you today for peace. May we experience it more and more each day as we strive to live the life of God.